Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle Podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman, and we're here to talk about the old brass spittoon game. Indiana takes on Michigan State in a trophy game. Oddly enough, while Indiana is not going to a bowl game, the final two games do have plenty of meaning with two trophy games in the old brass spittoon against Michigan State and the old Oaken Bucket against Purdue. So two very important games. I think one for the future of the program and getting some guys some playing time and maybe starting to build on something for next year. If you could grab one or both of these trophies, that's a huge step in the right direction heading into 2023. And I'll tell you, TJ, what I told Alex on Sunday, I'm not talking Tom Allen hot seat stuff tonight. I don't think that's happening. I don't think it's happening for a couple years. So that's my, I've said my piece. We're moving on. We're talking football. But let's get to last week real quick, TJ. It was a butt kicking by Ohio State. They're a really, really good team, but I left that game feeling better about this program than I did when we were talking about Penn State. I thought that, you know, the transition to Dexter Williams has occurred. I know that Tom Allen is not announcing a starter for Saturday, but that's a little bit of gamesmanship. I think it's a little silly, but I get it. However, Dexter Williams was made available to the media on Monday, which leads me to believe that he will be your starter on Saturday, even if they don't announce it. And then you also saw Carter Smith play, Vincent Snead, Isaiah Jones, and Caden Turner, and some other young guys. So I came out of that game feeling a lot better about, hey, they're starting to play these young guys, and maybe they could find something to build upon for next year, because they're going to need all the momentum they could getting into the offseason, because they opened the 2023 season with Ohio State at home. So any momentum that you might have could get squished very quickly. What was your takeaway from the Ohio State game, TJ?
Well, the outcome was obviously never in question going into it. We knew that. Everybody knew that. You know, Fox knew that. The whole broadcast was just a continuing advertisement for how great Ohio State is and for the upcoming Michigan-Ohio State game. From an IU perspective, I think that Dexter Williams showed you enough isolated plays to get you somewhat hopeful and excited. Now, I understand you have to be a little bit of an optimist to take that stance, but yeah, that's what we talked about before the game was you are looking for individual plays, individual performances from guys that stand out and make you say, okay, well, if he can do that against Ohio State, maybe we got something here. And I think you saw some of that from Dexter Williams. I thought his escapability in the pocket when plays broke down was good. I thought that there were, you know, some positive signs of Walt Bell using that mobility for Dexter Williams. And we kind of brought this up during the game on our group chat, was you cannot have a static pocket with this offensive line. And until that gets fixed, you can't have somebody, in this case, Dexter Williams or Connor Basilak, whoever, you cannot have the quarterback take the snap and be static in the pocket for, you know, more than a second, basically, because the pass rush swallows him up, the pocket collapses, and it's a negative play. What Indiana did more of with Dexter Williams, which makes perfect sense, is roll that pocket, move the pocket to both sides, and start to figure out, okay, this is what he can do well, this is what he doesn't do well, or this is what this offensive line can tolerate, and this is what they can't. And we saw a little bit of that. I mean, there was a couple of instances for sure where the inexperience of Dexter Williams shone through. The primary example of that, I think, was there were a couple of plays that he just held on to the ball too long without making a decision, and took a sack on a play where the protection wasn't bad. But, you know, if you stand back there for 3 or 4 seconds, you're going to get sacked against Ohio State. So that inexperience and the fourth down play, when Indiana, you know, had a tad bit of momentum, went for it on fourth and short, and it was open. It was a good play call. It was well designed, and Aaron Steinfeld was open in the flat, and it was a, you know, a touch pass was required, and Williams just sailed it. So that inexperience shone through, but still, overall, what I take from that game is there were some positive moments at the most critical position on the field to make you excited to see what else Dexter can do starting this week against a defense that's not Ohio State, Penn State, or Michigan.
No, and that's, you know, exactly right. I thought Dexter Williams played all right. There are some throws and some really nice throws. The one to Anderson Kobe for 49 yards down the field. He showed his arm strength. And things like that. There were some throws where people got to make catches too, and there were drops. So I think the 6 for 19 or whatever he was is a little misleading. He's probably should have probably been closer to 50% passing, which is still not great. But like you said, they are not playing the Ohio State Buckeyes or the Penn State Nittany Lions. They are coming in against the Michigan State Spartans, who, you know, used to be prided upon their defense. Now they sit at 12th in the Big Ten in scoring defense. They are 12th in the league giving up total yards. They are 13th against the pass and 11th against the run. So their defense is not great. I would venture to say it's not even good.
Defense, sorry to cut you off there. I think the pass defense, that's where you can get to them. We first saw it early in the season against Washington. Now, turns out that that game was an indicator that Washington's offense is really good, and that Michael Penix is really comfortable. He torched Michigan State. They let their foot off the gas. And the Spartans got back into that one somewhat, but that was our first indication. Hey, this Michigan State secondary, it ain't great. And we've seen it the rest of the season. Now, you know, they've played a little bit better here as of late, and that's got to be the concern for IU's coaches. Michigan State's come into this winning 3 out of 4, and included in that is a win over Illinois. Although they were outgained pretty drastically in that contest and still came up with the win. And then last week beating Rutgers, the Scarlet Knights got a late touchdown to make that look closer than it was. But really, this is an opportunity against a secondary that Dexter Williams needs to be able to show, hey, I learned some things in my earlier playing time, and go out and show that little bit of development. It's not going to be night and day. It's only been a couple weeks. But this is a game where you're hoping to see much more success through the air for Dexter Williams. Get that completion percentage up. Get that yardage up. Find a way to get him into rhythm early on with some short passes. This is a secondary he can have some success against.
Yeah, and I think that's what you want to see as an IU fan. Of course, you want to see a win as well, but you need some developmental progress. There's, you know, questions surrounding this program, the coaching staff, the players, that there has been, you know, regression, that they can't develop players, that, you know, they've hit a wall and have bounced backwards, so to speak. So to see some development and progression under this coaching staff would, at least to me, make me feel a little bit more comfortable heading into the off season that they can get this turned around, and that it's the end of this, you know, nightmare two seasons is coming to a close. On the defensive side, TJ, Michigan State brings back Peyton Thorne. They really aren't that great on offense as well. I think they average like 24 points a game. They're not the – I wasn't impressed with them last year either on offense outside of Kenneth Walker. They don't have Kenneth Walker this year. But, you know, they're averaging 24.8 points per game. They're, you know – 10 interceptions from Peyton Thorne to 20 touchdown passes. They're not in an elite offense that you've seen in Ohio State. Michigan or Penn State had a good offense as well. I think this is a gettable offense for this defense to maybe clamp down a little bit. You saw it last year. They held them to 15 points or, you know, 21 points or 20 points is 20 to 15. Last year, 20 points. Maybe they find a little bit of juice going into this game, and what can the Indiana defense do to kind of limit this Michigan State offense?
So really they've kind of found, they were searching a bit earlier in the season, and they still are somewhat, but searching for a replacement to the production from Kenneth Walker. He was such a singular talent for that offense that covered up a lot of ills throughout the rest of the offense. So looking for that, and they found Jalen Berger, sophomore running back. He's averaging 4.58 yards a carry, and Jarek Broussard, who's a senior running back. Berger is going to get the bulk of the work. Broussard, it's kind of a 60-40 split between the two here recently, and Broussard's actually at 4.9 yards a carry. Neither of them are great, but yeah, they have found some success here in the past couple weeks. Peyton Thorne, then, kind of the plan for them on offense is run the ball, open up deep shots for Peyton Thorne. Thorne is hitting on 63% of his passes. He's at 7.1 yards per attempt. And you look at their receivers, really, it's primarily two targets, and that's going to be Keon Coleman and Jaden Reed. Both of them have caught more than 40 passes. But what stands out is that they have multiple targets that are averaging above 14 yards a catch. Keon Coleman, Malik Carr, Jeremy Bernard. Going through that list, what you're finding is that guys aren't catching a lot of balls per game, but the ones they do catch tend to be big plays. So you're going to see a lot of runs from Michigan State that's attempting to open up a deep shot passing game and hit those big plays. It's not going to be a lot of sustained drives from Michigan State, but they're going to try to hit some big plays after pounding it on the ground to open up and soften up that the passing attack. So for Indiana, it's going to have to be make them one-dimensional, eliminate the running game, make sure they don't get any success there, try to get to Peyton Thorne, because I do think you can force some errors on from him. Thorne has thrown, I think it was 9 interceptions. Yes, that's correct. 9 interceptions on the season. So he'll make some mistakes, and if you can get some pressure on him and prevent him from completing those big shots down the field. Now, that's going to be a problem for IU's secondary, because we've seen them give up those big plays on numerous occasions this year, just having either communication breakdowns or just flat out busted coverages. that are giving up those big plays, and that's going to be what Michigan State's going to look to capitalize on. So I think the big thing to watch will be, can IU secondary stay locked in all game and prevent those big plays from getting hit? If you can do that and make Michigan State work their way down the field, I don't think they can do that consistently. They haven't shown that they can all season.
It's going to be a cold, cold day in East Lansing on Saturday. The high is only 27 with 16-mile-an-hour winds. So it's going to be a cold weather game. I think the team who runs the ball a little bit better, and I think with the threat of the quarterback run, Indiana's run offense gets so much better. You know, Dexter Williams and non-sack rushing yards, which I still don't understand why college football doesn't, you know, put those towards passing yards. He had 76 non-sack rushing yards. Indiana for the game was well over 100 yards against Ohio State because of that. And, you know, they had a nice 44-yard run from Emory Simmons. And it looks like Walt Bell is starting to open up the playbook a little bit more. And maybe that's because the offensive line can give him a little bit more. We'll see. We'll see if Joshua Sales could go this week. He seems like a game-time decision on Saturday. And, you know, if you could get Josh Henderson the ball more and get Jalen Lucas the ball more, maybe you could find more success in that running game. And then, you know, Dexter Williams played in a bad weather game last week and threw the ball pretty well. It wasn't, you know, he didn't miss his throws because the weather was bad. He missed his throws due to inexperience, some drop balls. And quite frankly, you're playing a very good defense as well. So it's going to be interesting to see who comes out, you know, if Indiana can, you know, get some life, get a spark, carry some momentum, and maybe get out of East Lansing with the win. The spread was 13 and a half points to open. I saw it got down to 10 at some point last night. I haven't checked it this morning, but that number has come down several points as well. TJ, if you're a casual fan looking at a casual Indiana fan looking at this game, what is your matchup to watch?
I think for me, it's going to be Dexter Williams against the Michigan State secondary, which again, I think is really susceptible. And it gives Williams a chance to have some success. That's what I'm looking for. The outcome's important in this one. It's a game that IU is capable of winning. But for me, the most important thing is, what do we see from Dexter Williams over the next 2 weeks as we look forward for Indiana football? Is Dexter Williams a guy that they can build around and have an offseason to build the offense around him? I think we'll find out a lot about that over the next 2 weeks. And Michigan State secondary is one he can have a good day against if he gets some help from the offensive line and his receivers. But that's what I'm looking for, is that individual performance of Dexter Williams attacking this Michigan State secondary, which again, can be vulnerable. They're not terrible. There's still some really good players back there, but it's certainly going to be much easier going than he's seen in his previous action.
Yeah, and my matchup to watch is right along that. It's the Indiana receivers against the Michigan State's secondary. Can guys like Donovan McCulley, Emory Simmons, Anderson Kobe, even throw Jalen Lucas out there. Maybe Cameron Perry finally gets some run there as well. Yeah. Can those guys get open, make some plays down the field, and get some momentum for next year? Get some momentum going into the bucket game and get some confidence going that you can really see and be successful, because this is not the you know, the Darquez Denard and Michigan State secondary no fly zone of the past. This is a team that gives up a ton of yards up through the air. It is probably, you know, the worst or second worst pass defense in the Big Ten. They should have success. They're not, IU's receivers are not going to be that outgunned by the defensive back. So it's time for IU's receivers to make some plays. And it's also a time to evaluate for the coaches who might be back next year. Who's going to give you, you know, who's talented enough to that you actually want them back? Or do you push them towards a portal? A guy like Javon Swinton and things like that. This is a big game for those guys because if you can't have success against Michigan State, it might be time to move on and things like that. Because IU does, I really wish they wouldn't redshirt Omar Cooper because I think he would have a big day against Michigan State as well. But, you know, that ship has sailed and we'll see. But there's guys coming up through the system and, you know, Cam Camper's going to be back next year as well. So we'll see. It's a big day for the receivers, an important day for the receivers. And I think that's my matchup to watch on Saturday. TJ, keys to the game for Indiana to walk out of East Lansing with the old brass spittoon.
I'm going to go with one that Indiana has not had much success with so far, and that's winning the turnover battle. They're on just a ridiculous streak of not recovering fumbles that are loose.
They recovered one last week.
Yes.
They got their first one. I think it was up to 10 maybe or 11 in a row.
Yeah, maybe the dam has broken in that respect. But I think that this is a game that is gettable, but IU's going to have some of those plays go their way. I think they'll need to get to Peyton Thorne. Like I said, he's thrown 9 interceptions on the season. He'll make some mistakes. Dexter Williams has to take care of the ball. That includes while he's running with it and good decision-making when he's passing. So I'm going to go with that turnover battle, winning that and maybe, you know, setting the offense up on some short fields would go a long way towards helping IU pull off this upset.
Yeah, I thought you when you said something that they haven't done very well this year was score more points than the opponent. It could have been that too. And that's all of our keys to the game. Keys to victory, score more points than Michigan State. But in order to do that, I think the key to the game for Indiana is to play a clean game in all phases. You know, the offense didn't turn the ball over against Ohio State, but the defense led up a ton of big plays. Special teams had a punt block as well that led to a touchdown, which kind of gets negated by the fumble recovery, but it kind of doesn't. It's we have not seen Indiana play a complete game. Really, I would say if the most complete game was probably the opener against Illinois, but even that wasn't a complete game. They have not put together a complete game in all three phases yet this year. I think if they could do that and could do that with limiting turnovers, getting takeaways on defense, and not having those just excruciating plays, devastating plays on special teams that include block punts, a long return on either kick or punt or penalties on a kick return or punt return. They have a weapon now. It's the first time I think we've seen multiple kick returns against Ohio State from Indiana where they just didn't fair catch it. Now, Jalen Lucas did fair catch it a couple of times, but he was real close to breaking off a couple of them against Ohio State. If he had enough to get to the edge, I think they have a real weapon in Jalen Lucas. Maybe he gets things going again against Michigan State, but all three phases have to click. You can't turn the ball over on offense. Like you said, you got to get stops and takeaways on defense as well. And then no critical errors on special teams. Look, James Evans is having a heck of a season despite having two punts blocked. And, you know, he sets up the defense for success. The defense has to be successful. You got to get a 3-and-out or get off the field quickly to set up the offense with good field position. And then the offense, if you do that, the offense has to take advantage. We didn't see that against Penn State with Tywin Mullen's interception. He started at the 19, ended up punting, I believe, on that drive, which is ridiculous. But, you know, those are the plays that, that you got to get. Michigan State does have bowl eligibility on the line. So they're mm-hmm. playing for something too, not just this platoon. So Indiana could play spoiler. It'd be not, Michigan State goes to Penn State next week. That's going to be a tough road for them. So they want to get this one on Saturday. And what better way to play spoiler to a rival in a trophy game than to win it, maybe end their bowl run as well. It's somebody you compete against in recruiting as well. You know, they've split the last two meetings. So those extra bowl practices do mean a lot. And you could actively prevent that from happening if you go to East Lansing and win on Saturday. TJ, final thoughts on Saturday's game.
I think it's an important one, not just because of the brass platoon, but this is, after a couple weeks of kind of getting your head pounded in and not being able to do much about it, this is a good chance for IU's younger players that you hope are starting to see a lot more game action, that, you know, the names we've mentioned here today. It's a good chance for them to maybe have some success, get some confidence, and see what they can do against not a matchup opponent. I mean, Michigan State's in a better place than IU is. There's no question about that. But much closer to that than a Michigan or a Penn State or Ohio State that some guys have seen action in earlier. So I think that this is an important game in that respect. And I'm really the thing that I'm most looking forward to is seeing what can Dexter Williams do with what I hope is a full week of preparation, knowing that he is going to be the starter.
Yep.
The offense is catered to his abilities and catered to avoid his weaknesses. I hope that that's what's happening. And if it is, what can he do against a defense that is gettable? I think it's going to go a long way towards determining whether or not he's the guy that you look at as your quarterback heading into 2023. And that's, you know, in a season that is otherwise a complete failure, that can be something positive to build on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This is, you hope that Allen and the staff are taking this as an, not an open, like a tryout, but this is an open audition for, you know, the starting job going into next year. And this is Dexter Williams' chance to get reps with the ones and the twos in game situations against two rivals, one on the road, one at home, and you see what you have. And look, if Dexter Williams comes out and is absolute garbage, all right, no time has been lost. Sure, you'll finish the season 3-9, but then you could address that in the offseason. Do you go to the transfer portal, get a quarterback? Do you enter, you know, spring practice with a two-man race between and maybe Connor Bazelak comes back into the race too? But for me, he just looked checked out on Saturday, and I don't think he's a good fit for Walt Bell's offense. Look, he's played his heart out. He has led IU to three wins, three come from behind wins in exciting fashion as well. I don't think he's a good fit for what Walt Bell wants to do. So it might be time to move off of Connor Bazelak for the future. But do you go into spring practice with an open competition between McCulley, Sorsby, and maybe you have Brock Lowry in for spring practice as well? And you go with those three and split up the reps that way. Or if Dexter Williams does play really well and you go in with him at the number one, Sorsby at number two, Brock Lowry at number three, and you divide your reps that way. There's a lot to figure out over these last two games. And you just hope that, one, everybody stays healthy, and two, that they can find something positive to go into the offseason, to build the offseason around. Because what Indiana can't do, TJ, and we said it during the spring, you can't have zero momentum and zero storylines going into the offseason. I really hope that they open up spring practice to the media, because all that's going to be talked about by Indiana football, if they lose out, is that you went 5-19 over the last 2 years with one conference win. That is going to be the storyline from now until Ohio State or fall camp kicks off, if you close down spring practice. So they need something positive for people to latch on to and talk about. However, TJ, we did get a bit of positive news about Indiana football this week. Yesterday, Hoosiers for Good, Hoosiers Connect, announced that an anonymous donor, it's not me, it's not you, so we don't know who it is going to match up to $1 million in gifts for NIL to those two organizations. From all that we've heard and read from the Indy Star and some other insiders, that this money is earmarked for football and that it should mostly or all go to the football program. So you're talking about up to $2 million in one campaign. It's big news. What do you take away from that?
It's a start. It's absolutely a start. This amount of money, one, it's whoever's doing that. If you happen to be a listener of Hoosier Huddle, thank you for your, you know, extremely generous donation towards the program in hopes that, you know, if we see a turnaround in the product that we see on the field. Second, you know, a program like an Ohio State or a Michigan, you're looking at $12, $13 million annually. Indiana's not going to be that, and expectations of competing with those schools, I'm sorry, they're not currently realistic. We've seen that on the field, and what you see on the field is a result of the recruiting and the development within those programs and the facilities and the overall immense operations that those schools have and the resources they have put into the programs. That's why you get the product you do on the field. Now, what Indiana can do is get to that $5, $6, $7 million annually to compete with really most of the rest of the Big Ten. That would get you on, we don't know for sure because these numbers aren't public, but I would think that that gets you on par with pretty much everybody else in the league and gives you a fighting chance in these recruiting battles as you look to, one, get good players in, number two, keep good players in your program and avoid them transferring out. So it's a great start. It's a very, very generous and serious amount of money from an individual. Hopefully, you know, the maximum amount of matched is raised and put in. I think it's probably the most positive news that we've seen from the program since the Hoosiers' last victory. So it's a big deal. It is just a start, though. There's still a lot of work that's going to have to be done to get the Hoosiers where they need to be in terms of the NIL wars, if you will, that are going to be an ongoing thing.
Yeah, and that giving campaign goes until December 31st. So it's a match up until collect is by December 31st, 2022. So if you're looking to make a donation, if you're an Indiana fan looking to make a donation, we have the article up on our page. There are links there. You could go to Hoosiers for Good and donate, earmark your money for football. There's a drop down tab there as well. And Hoosiers Connect, which is something kind of new. Our link is in there too. They're both run by the same people. But one is a little bit different. Hoosiers for Good sets athletes up with charitable organizations. Hoosier Connect is more of a corporate sponsorship. You know, you get some sort of incentive too for how much you give. and opportunities to interact with players and things like that. So an excellent opportunity for all those fans who have been complaining about the lack of NIL money. Well, they just gave you a way to put your money where your mouth is, you know, and match and make every dollar, $2 up to $1 million. So, you know, if you're feeling in the giving mood, this is, and want to help Indiana football, this is the way to do it. TJ, I do want to send Hoosier Huddles as a site condolences to the Virginia football program. It's a program that IU has played twice since 2017, so we're familiar with them. They had an unreal tragedy over the weekend with three players killed in a shooting in Devin Chandler, Deshaun Perry, and Lavelle Davis Jr. So our thoughts are with the Virginia Cavaliers, that football program, those coaches, players all over there hurting. Another senseless gun violence incident, and hopefully that the healing process begins for them. Just an unbelievably sad story out of Charlottesville over the past couple of days. So we want to send our thoughts and our prayers over to them and wish them a speedy recovery.
Yeah, well said. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. As we turn our attention to Saturday, game is at noon. Game is at noon, and you can, as always, either find it on TV or the IU Radio Network with Don Fisher from East Lansing. After that, it's Bucket Week, so we're going to have, you know, all of our coverage leading up to the Michigan State game, after the Michigan State game, and then quickly turn attention to the Boilermakers, who very well could be playing for the Big Ten West title. An absurd statement, if there ever was one, and another true indictment of the ridiculous division system. But it is what we currently have, and if Purdue has a chance to win it, I can think of no better way to end the season than spoiling that. So certainly a lot left to play for. I know it has at times been a real slog to watch this team. Hopefully this Saturday provides some hope and excitement with Dexter Williams and some young Hoosiers out there against the Spartans. So we'll see. Like we've said, there's still a lot to play for in these last two games. Or we could see the Hoosiers completely fall flat on their face against these two opponents, and we leave the season with even more questions than we have now. We're about to find out.
Yeah, we are. Game again is kicking off at noon. It's on Big Ten Network. You can listen to Don Fisher, Rhett Lewis on the IU Radio Network, and all the fun facts that they have to say, brought to you by yours truly. Not all of them. Rhett does a lot of his own work and is fantastic as well. But you can listen on the IU Radio broadcast. We'll be up in East Lansing as well. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle and keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com for all your news, notes, stories, and whatnots on Indiana football. For TJ Inman, I'm Sammy Jacobs. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Subscribe wherever you find your podcast. Rate, leave a comment, all of the above. Thank you for listening. I know it's been a long season. But we're happy to be with you and get you through it.